News number one.
At 18 hours Universal Time, here is the news on The Voice of America. I'm Steve Norman in Washington. In a new mediating mission to the Middle East, U.S. Mideast envoy Dennis Ross has held separate talks with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat. Mr. Ross is trying to restore security cooperation between Israel and the Palestinians in the wake of the July 30th terrorist attack in Jerusalem. Patricia Galan reports from Jerusalem.
Following his meeting in Jerusalem with Mr. Netanyahu, Mr. Ross said that Washington recognizes the political issues that must be addressed. But first, he stressed the security basis of the process must be put back in place. And security is the central focus of the American envoy's talks here. But later, meeting Palestinian Authority leader Yasser Arafat in Ramallah in the West Bank, it was clear the two sides differ significantly over the main purpose of Mr. Ross's mission. Mr. Netanyahu told the American envoy that there can be no resumption of peace talks until Mr. Arafat cracks down on militants living under Palestinian rule. Mr. Arafat says he can't do more for security than he's already doing, and that the Israelis must lift their security and economic blockade. Israel has eased some of the controls imposed on Palestinian areas, but most restrictions remain. Patricia Golan for VOA News, Jerusalem.
An Israeli soldier has been killed, three others wounded, in a rocket attack by Iranian-backed Hezbollah guerrillas in South Lebanon. Israeli sources said the guerrillas opened fire on an Israeli patrol inside the Israeli-occupied security zone in South Lebanon. A Hezbollah spokesman in Beirut claimed responsibility for the rocket attack. Several of the Hezbollah rockets reportedly hit an orphanage, injuring one girl. Israeli artillery gunners rained shells on Hezbollah strongholds in retaliation for those attacks. A bomb has exploded in Istanbul's historic district, injuring three people, one of them a Canadian tourist. The injured 36-year-old Canadian was treated and released from an Istanbul hospital, but the two wounded Turks remain hospitalized. Police were looking for two people who fled the scene in a car shortly before the explosion. The blast came as Turkey tightened security in advance of Friday's 13th anniversary of the outbreak of the Kurdish rebellion. Heavy fighting has broken out between rival factions in Tajikistan on the outskirts of the capital, Dushanbe. Units of Tajikistan's Presidential Guard have been sending artillery and rocket fire with forces by a maverick colonel from the southern part of the country. Commander of the Presidential Guard says his forces have turned back four assaults by rebels trying to enter Dushanbe. Today's battle on the southern edge of the capital appeared to be separate from clashes elsewhere in Dushanbe Saturday, when at least five people died. Correspondents in Dushanbe say President Rakhmonov is expected to ask Russian-led peacekeeping troops to take over the city's security. And there is heavy fighting erupting in the Afghan capital of Kabul. VOA correspondent Meredith Buell has details.
Reports say intense battles raged Sunday on the front line north of Kabul between Taliban fighters and forces loyal to opposition commander Ahmed Shah Massoud. Both sides are reportedly using rocket launchers and other heavy weapons on the battlefield about 25 kilometers from the capital. Witnesses say rockets are raining on the village of Shakardara, and reports say there is also a major battle for the village of Mir Bachakot. Rival warplanes are involved in the fighting. Reports say towering plumes of black smoke can be seen as 500-kilogram bombs fall on the battlefield. Journalists were prevented from reaching the front line, and there are no independent reports of casualties. 3 weeks ago, the northern-based opposition forces launched a surprise attack from their stronghold in the Hindu Kush Mountains and pushed the Taliban to within 15 kilometers of Kabul. The Taliban have recaptured some of the territory they lost, but the front line has remained relatively stable in recent days. Meredith Buell, VOA News, Islamabad.
U.S. Special Envoy to Cambodia, Desirex Anderson, has left Phnom Penh after a one-day visit during which he held talks with installed co-prime minister Ung Huat. Prince Norodom Ranariddh, who was ousted as first prime minister by his rival co-prime minister Hun Sen, says he encourages communications between countries like the members of ASEAN and the United States with Ung Huat. He says it can only help the situation in his country. Prince Ranariddh reiterated a statement from his father, King Sihanouk, who believes his son is the rightful first prime minister.
My father has very clearly said that he still considers myself as the legal prime minister of the Kingdom of Cambodia, and he does not give any prime minister title to Mr.
Prince Ranarid added that he intends to continue to pursue political and diplomatic efforts to return himself to office, but he does not rule out military force. He met yesterday along the Thai-Cambodia border with troops loyal to him. U.S. investigators on the Pacific island of Guam have found an error in a radar system that could have sounded a warning to a Korean jet that crashed there last week. 225 people died. The radar watches for planes flying too low. Investigators say a recent computer modification included a software error which could have affected the system's operation. A member of the U.S. National Transportation Safety Board says the faulty radar system did not cause last Wednesday's crash, but could have helped to prevent it. KLL 707, a 747 jet, went down in a rocky landslide. This is VOA News. Britain's Secretary for Northern Ireland, Mo Mollem, has hinted that the British government may consider early release of prisoners if the Northern Ireland peace process advances. Ms. Mollem told the Sunday Telegraph newspaper that she is not prepared to discuss freeing Republicans or Loyalists prisoners now, but she added that as the ceasefire holds, other options, that is, could become possible. British government has jailed about 250 Republicans and 250 Loyalists in connection with the Northern Ireland conflict. Britain's Prince of Wales is wrapping up a three-day tour of Bosnia-Herzegovina, where she is trying to bring attention to an international campaign against landmines. One of her last stops was the United Nations Mine Action Center in Sarajevo. Officials there say more money is needed to clear the estimated 700,000 mines remaining in the country after the war. A UN spokesman says he hopes Diana's visit to Bosnia will focus attention on the problem and promote contributions to the fund for clearing those landmines. During her visit, the princess brought comfort to some of the mine victims, visiting them in their homes, here to hear how they were hurt in those mine accidents. Hundreds of Greek Cypriots have attended a memorial for two men killed in clashes with Turkish Cypriots 1 year ago. The service has underscored the continuing rift between the Turkish and Greek communities on the island, despite the long-awaited revival of peace talks last month. Police refused the father of one of the victims of last year's violence entry into the buffer zone dividing the island. He wanted to lay a wreath at the place where his son died. Meanwhile, the leader of the self-declared Turkish Cypriot state said he has little hope for progress as he flew to Switzerland for another round of peace talks. Comoran State Radio reported today the Organization of African Unity's special envoy was expected soon on Anjouan Island for talks with separatist leaders there. But Anjouan remained tense after separatists claimed to have defeated Comoran government agents who tried to infiltrate their island. Sonia Lawrence Green has more.
OAU Special Envoy Pierre Yere has held closed-door talks with Comoran President Mohamed Taki Abdou Karim in the capital Moroni this week and is now due to meet separatists on breakaway Anjouan Island about ways to ease the current crisis. But tension remains high on Anjouan, where separatists say they fought off government agents who tried to infiltrate the western town of Bimbini. They also claim that government soldiers, possibly accompanied by mercenaries, came ashore Saturday and were heading toward Anjouan's main city, Mutsamudu. But so far, there is no independent evidence that Comoran troops or agents have arrived on Anjouan Island. Still, islanders are taking the reports seriously and arming themselves with machetes, knives, and clubs in case of a possible confrontation. Sonia Lawrence Green for VOA News, East Africa Bureau.
Crew of the U.S. Space Shuttle Discovery has trained a small telescope deep into outer space for a final look at a recent visitor here to Earth, the Hale-Bopp Comet. The crew set up the ultraviolet telescope in the window of the shuttle's crew hatch for brief glimpses of the comet, which was spotted as Discovery orbited south of Australia, moving towards some sunlight. Nearly 500 million kilometers distance away and moving at 80,000 kilometers an hour, Hale-Bopp is moving off into outer space. And now the hour's headlines. U.S. Mideast Envoy Dennis Ross holds talks with Israeli and Palestinian officials with hopes of restarting the peace talks. One Israeli soldier is killed, three others injured in rocket attacks in southern Lebanon. And heavy fighting between rival factions in Tajikistan is reported near Dushanbe, the capital. That's the news on the Voice of America. I'm Steve Norman in Washington.
Kill me,